Welcome to our premiere episode of Remodeling Reinvented. In this podcast, we'll discuss the fundamentals of remodeling, design, architecture, and industry trends, and you'll hear straight from the experts. I'm your host, Caitlin Copley, along with producer Diana Volker, and today we're diving into one of the most exciting and often overwhelming parts of remodeling, and that's getting started. That's why I'm thrilled to be joined by George Laughlin.
Hello.
George is a project director at Jackson Design and Remodeling and has had many years of experience helping clients to transform their homes from start to finish. Today, he's here to walk us through the essential first steps when undertaking a remodel. Welcome, George.
Thank you, George. Caitlin. Hey. Diana, thank you.
We're so excited to have you. So once someone decides they want to remodel their home, what are the first steps they should take before reaching out to a remodeling firm?
Well, it's a really good idea to get an idea of what you want to do and what your budget is. I think a lot of times people really don't understand what it's going to take to do what they need to do. And they go on the internet and they start searching around, they watch HGTV and they get a lot of information that really isn't true information for what the market is today. If you get an idea of what you want to do, get some photographs online and put together a folder and then start interviewing people. A lot of places have showrooms that you can go to. There's some seminars around town and that's really a good way to get started.
Awesome. So obviously choosing the right remodeling team is one of the most important steps. And what kind of research should homeowners do to make sure their company is reputable and reliable?
Well, most companies will offer a free consultation, and that's when you can invite someone into your home and they can take a look. So that would be a really good way to get started. Also, you can go into their showrooms and look around. And once you get a feel for someone, you can get a really good idea if you think that would be someone that you want to work with, because depending on the size of your project, that's someone you're going to be working with from anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. So you want to make sure you have a really good relationship with that person. And when you're interviewing, you want to also find out who's going to be doing what, because a lot of times the initial person you speak to might be gone after the sale of the project, and then you're turned over to someone else that you haven't even met yet. So you kind of want to get a really good understanding of who you're going to be working with throughout the project.
And when they're interviewing the remodeling company or contractor, what kinds of questions should they ask when it comes to past clients, or are there certain questions they should make sure they ask and don't forget?
Well, some really important things are the longevity of a company. I've worked with a client that was starting to get bids on the real low end. And we can talk about that, too, because that's a whole nother subject. But the newer companies are possibly not even newer companies, but you really don't want a new company, especially depending on the size of your project, because they may not have even gone through a whole project yet. So I had a client that was comparing us of 36 or 35 years with a company that hadn't even had a year's worth of business. And, I mean, their license hadn't even been a year old. So how long does that mean they are into one client? You know, they haven't even built a project.
Right.
So, you know, I can only talk about where we're coming from, but where we have an umbrella of subcontractors. We have the stability of longevity and getting through a lot of economic situations. And that's going to be important as a homeowner, especially if you're doing a larger project.
And what are some potential red flags they should watch out for?
Call it the Chuck in the truck. The guy that shows up in his truck and he really doesn't have a brick and mortar, you know, office or anything like that. They can easily skip out on you. You know, when you're interviewing people, you'll probably get a real high price and you'll get a real low price and you'll get kind of the middle price, but you really have to get a real good feel for what it is. You generally don't want to go for the real low price. I can't tell you how many times I've run into people at Home Depot and Costco and they're like, oh, you're that guy. I remember you came to my house. I ended up trying to go with that, you know, save some money and go with that smaller company. And you know what? I still don't have a panel on my refrigerator. They're gone. And the project took twice as long as you said. And it cost a lot more than what you said. So what I can say is your research would be just use Jackson Design and Remodeling. If I must say myself.
I'm sure you have a lot of stories like that where maybe they worked with someone in the past and had a poor experience. So I think as homeowners, we just have to do our research and see who's the right fit for me and who do I feel comfortable with, right?
Yeah, I started a project up in Carlsbad once, and there was a project that had just gotten started next door. And we were like, oh, great, let's see how this goes. You know, we'll kind of do a little comparison here. The neighbors. Well, the neighbor next door went on vacation and had the contractor get started. And we soon thereafter got started. And as we were moving along, we noticed that that job stopped. And so we're like, well, the electrician was there, the plumber was there, and nothing was happening. And there were no trucks, you know, and we just kept moving along with our project. Come to find out, the contractor, the general contractor, went out of business.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
He never paid those subcontractors. The people were out of town, and now those clients owed those subcontractors for the work that they did in their home, even though the project stopped. And now they have to find another contractor. And generally, contractors don't want to go in after another contractor and clean up the work that someone did. They want to start all over again. And so that's a big expense as well. So you really have to be smart about who you're working with and finding out, you know, what their stability is, et cetera.
Yeah. Do your homework, exactly. As they say. Okay, great. Well, we're going to move on to another subject. So, George, once homeowners choose a remodeling contractor, what are the next steps clients can expect before actually starting construction?
You have to know what your plan is. So you have to put a plan together. You have to know what your project's going to be and what it's going to cost. Ideally, you want to know what the total cost is going to be. And when you go to a smaller contractor, they're generally going to give you a cost for their labor and materials to build the project, but not the finishes. Finishes meaning some larger cost items like cabinetry or countertops, tile, things like that. Our process at Jackson Design and Remodeling, we have a three-step process, we call it, and we go through a conceptual process where you'll meet with an interior designer, architect, and myself, which is project director, and we're your team throughout the entire project. The interior designer is going to come up with the finishes based on some initial meetings with you. The architect is going to work together with myself and the designer to put together floor plans, and we'll do multiple options, and then we're going to price it out with our estimating team so you have a really good idea of what it costs. What we're doing is giving you a real understanding of what your project could be, and you're able to look at those items and decide what's most important to you, not only the cost, but the value to your lifestyle, and then move forward. And once you decide what conceptually you want to do, we develop that one project. And that's when we do the full scope of work, which is about 40 pages long. We bring the subcontractors out and get real pricing on everything. And we get the preliminary structural drawings done so we can price that. And the interior designer selects everything down to the light fixtures. So you don't necessarily have to use exactly what's chosen at that point, but it's giving you the total price of what the project's going to cost, including your appliances and your sinks and faucets and garbage disposal. All of those items are included, and you have a lot of input at that point with the designer. So it's not just random, and it's not just a lowball cost. We're really putting a project together that suits your needs and your style.
So it seems like the more you know at the beginning, the less likely there are for surprises down the line when construction is actually going on. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that leads me to the question that people often will say, or a statement like, I don't really need a designer. I'm going to pick out all my own finishes. Well, you're going to work with our designer to pick out the finishes, and they're going to do all the drawings of where the tile is going to be laid out and where the grout lines are and where the outlets are and do the ordering and what quantity of material do I need, and also what balance of color. You know, sometimes you can go into someone's house and see that they did it themselves, or they did it at one of the home stores. You know, the style is going to be different.
Right.
You know, if you go online and look at our website, you can really see what true design can create.
Right. Because it's collaborative, right? So you talk to them about how they use the space. And that brings me to another kind of question. You know, it can be challenging when you feel like you want to do your whole house, but maybe your budget is only for a few rooms. So how do you help clients determine which spaces to start with first? And are there questions you ask them? Or,
you know, it's funny because sometimes you walk in, and I was with a client just the other day, and it just seemed they were a little defensive because they thought I was going to try to sell them something. You know, like I'm in there to, you know, do your whole house. And that's not the point at all. I want to talk to you about your budget, what your needs are, what's most important to you, what you're going to get the most out of. Like, the husband thought he just wants to open up everything, so if they decide to sell the house in the future, that's what everybody wants. But truthfully, I didn't think that was it. And then when I started bringing the wife in and getting her a little bit more comfortable that I wasn't going to try to sell her everything, I really got a better understanding. And so did the husband start understanding what they needed as a family, mm-hmm. you know? And I think once you have that understanding and then you bring the budget into it, you can prioritize. And when we go through our three-step process, we can prioritize your needs along with the budget and like start to itemize things as we start getting into, you know, the less needed items, so you can decide what's going to fit and be comfortable for you to move forward. And then if we start moving forward, you want to add things. I've had people put bathrooms back in, you know, like the upstairs kids' bathroom. Oh, let's go ahead and do it. You know, you start working with the designer, picking out materials, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to go through this and not do that.
So, there's just so many decisions to make. So mm-hmm. it helps having somebody to guide you through all that.
Yeah, I tell people sometimes I'm a better marriage counselor than I am a divorce attorney.
Oh, George.
They laugh at that.
Yeah. And what advice do you have for homeowners who aren't sure what style they like or how they want their home to look? And I know sometimes even a husband and wife may even have two competing styles. So if you want to talk to us a little bit about that and how you can make them sort of feel comfortable deciding on a certain style.
The most important part of that is having a timeless design at the end. So you need to really listen to your clients, take in what they're giving you, and show them what we can put together. So there's mid-century modern, there's contemporary, there's traditional, if you do a look 100%, it's going to last a lifetime. Any of those styles that I just mentioned, if you look at a house that it was built in the 60s or 70s, 90s or whatever, that is fully that style and not disco, with the, you know, mirrored tiles or things like that, that style is going to last a lifetime. So you really want to get that input through the designer. And sometimes putting together things that you like, photographs, and things that you don't like, guide us to what those decisions will be. And you might not know exactly what it is when you're putting those photos together.
Right.
But a trained design eye can pull those things out and make you help you understand what's going to work and what's going to look good. And generally, when I was on the design side 100%, I would tell clients, I'm not going to order anything until I know you 100% love it. Because if you like it, we're going to find what you love. I'm not going to waste my time on like. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of design, you recently attended the KBIS show in Las Vegas recently. Are there mm-hmm. any takeaways you want to share with us
that you can tell us from Vegas?
First off, wear comfortable shoes because that thing is huge. I don't know if anyone's been to a convention in Las Vegas, but their convention center is so big and this fills up every room in that convention center. But it was great. There was one learning session I went to that talked about the economy and how that economy is going to be affecting real estate, new builds and remodels. And really, remodeling is going to be the height of that industry, of the entire industry from here on out for a while.
Wow.
So we're excited about that. And it's because homeowners are not going to feel comfortable moving necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the cost of the home or the building cost of the home. It's the cost of the move and the packing and the taxes and the insurance and everything. So a lot of people are staying put and doing their remodeling. My favorite thing that I saw there was this under-counter water filter system that does it does soda water, boiling water. So it's just 1 degree below boiling because otherwise it would come out steam if it was boiling is what they told me. And then it has filtered water and then plain tap water all in the same faucet.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's a little electronic button pad that you just push which one you want.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
There's always rationalization. So it depends on how you put it, but it was about $7,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't know. You know, you're buying a water filter anyway, and you're buying a faucet anyway. You're buying, you know, all these items anyway, if you have a soda stream and, you know, the cartridges and everything else. So you just have to want it, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing I checked in, Diana was talking about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I chose to have my own room because we were traveling with colleagues. And so it was a king size bed. And they go, oh, we don't have any king size beds. So we're going to put you in a room with two double beds. And I go, okay, well, we're going to be here multiple days. Can I move? And she goes, just a minute. So she makes a phone call and she gets back and she goes, I have another room for you in another tower. And so, you know, we'll just put you in that room and it has a king size bed. I said, great. I don't really need a king size bed, but you know, whatever.
You'll take it.
Yeah. So I get this room and it's all done in white and it has this big bed and this beautiful view and all this. So I thought, you know, my niece and I are real close. She's a designer as well. I sent her some pictures. She goes, Uncle George, is that a mirror on your ceiling?
No way.
Oh my God. I went back in the room and I go, oh my God, that is a mirror on the ceiling.
And oh my goodness.
So yeah, that was a true Vegas room, the suite. You know, I was up on the 19th floor,
Wow. This
huge bed, and yeah, it was
how fun.
Mirror on the ceiling.
So, yeah, and I saw some pictures. They had like cooking demonstrations, and for those who don't know, it's the Kitchen Bath Industry Show, and they do this every year, sometimes in Las Vegas, sometimes in Florida, and our team has gotten a chance to attend every couple years, and all the big brands are there, so I saw Kohler and Wolf and Toto. I mean, anything you can think of, really. And it's, I think, the biggest show in the world, I think, is what I heard.
There are people from all over the world showing their items. And, you know, for a while I was looking at cabinets and I went to one cabinet. You know, they're kind of in a section.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like there's people from Vietnam. There were so many Vietnamese cabinet companies in this one section. You know,
wow.
I eventually didn't have to ask. But,
yeah.
But you know, one of our cabinet companies from Washington was there. They had a beautiful display, you know, really. And what's the one that has the interior cabinet interiors, you know, seeing all the new cabinet options for the inside of the cabinet, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good to see. But yeah, you're right. There are a lot of celebrity chefs from HGTV.
I saw Gordon Ramsay was there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that photo.
I really want to try his restaurant. That risotto and the beef Wellington. Wow. George, for those who don't know, George used to be you used to be a professional chef.
Yeah.
So that helps you on design probably too when you're talking to people about kitchens and how to use it. And
that's actually how I got started.
Oh, wow.
I went to art school and I was a chef.
Well, this has been really insightful and we thank you so much for being with us here today. And it's our premiere episode, so we're really excited to continue and hopefully have you on again real soon.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
All right.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Remodeling Reinvented. If you're considering a remodel, remember that the key to success is careful planning and choosing the right team. Be sure to subscribe for more expert insights on your home transformations.